Just one more day until the midterm elections. The GOP is well positioned to pick up seats in the House and take control of the Senate, but lots of races are polling well within the margin of error. Disgust and disappointment with both parties and the president were key ingredients this year, NPR's Mara Liasson reports.
The shouting, most of it on TV, is just about over, and a surly electorate is slouching toward the ballot box. It's been the most expensive midterm election ever. $4 billion was spent, and the results so far? Nobody likes anybody. Huge majorities say the country's on the wrong track, and voters gave all the players, President Obama, the Democrats, and the Republicans, low marks. But in a second-term midterm, says political analyst Larry Sabato, that adds up to bad news for the incumbent president and his party.
In many respects, this is just a classic sixth-year itch election. By then, a president has embittered the opposition party and has disappointed many people in his own coalition. Those are just the political facts of life.
Every president elected twice since World War II who had a Senate majority to lose has lost it in a second-term midterm. And that's what Sabato and most prognosticators expect. There hasn't been an overriding issue in this campaign, or even two competing agendas. Instead, the Republicans' message could be boiled down to just two words: Obama bad.
Do you trust President Obama and the Washington politicians to deal with the problems we face? Too much debt. Not enough jobs. Terrorism and Ebola.
The GOP playbook was simple: tie every Democrat to the unpopular president.
My opponent, Senator Shaheen, has been voting with the president over 99% of the time.
Democrats, particularly in the red states that make up this year's battleground, were spooked. Many tried to scuttle away from the president with varying degrees of credulity. Here's Democratic Senate candidate Allison Grimes in a debate last month.
Why are you reluctant to give an answer on whether or not you voted for President Obama?
Bill, there's no reluctancy. This is a matter of principle. Our Constitution grants here in Kentucky the constitutional right for privacy at the ballot box.
Sometimes it seemed President Obama was in the witness protection program. He kept his campaign travel to friendly blue states. But sometimes he said things that made it harder for Democrats, like when he tried to explain that he wasn't on the ballot, but...
Make no mistake, these policies are on the ballot. Every single one of them.
As Republicans tried to nationalize the election with a laser-like focus on the president, Democrats tried to frame it as a choice between two candidates. In Georgia, Democrat Michelle Nunn scuffed up the reputation of businessman David Perdue, making him out to be a heartless outsourcer of jobs and indifferent to the rights of women. Here are Perdue and Nunn responding to a moderator's question about why female managers sued Perdue's company for pay discrimination.
That lawsuit was less than 2,000 people. We had upwards of 70,000 employees in that company.
2,000 women, that actually seems like quite a lot to me.
But for the most part, Republicans blunted the war on women attacks. In Colorado, for example, Republican Cory Gardner came out in favor of over-the-counter birth control, a position he now shares with Planned Parenthood. And in a debate 2 weeks ago, he backed away from his previous support for a constitutional amendment that would give legal rights to embryos.
I think, again, I do not support the personhood amendment. The bill that you're referring to is simply a statement that I support life. But let me just...
Neither party spent much time trying to change the minds of swing voters because there are so few of them. Instead, says Jennifer Duffy of the Cook Political Report, most of the effort was aimed at turning out core supporters.
They're not talking to the middle. They're not trying to persuade voters. So it's almost like watching two different campaigns.
Other surprises, the completely unexpected addition of Kansas to the toss-up list. Kansas hasn't elected a Democrat to the Senate since the 1930s, but there's an intra-party fight between Kansas Tea Party conservatives and the GOP establishment. Larry Sabato.
This is backlash politics in Kansas. Amazingly, one of the most Republican states in a GOP-tilting year is moving in the other direction, causing angst for the Republicans.
Independent Greg Orman is challenging incumbent Republican Senator Pat Roberts. Orman hasn't said which party he'd caucus with if he won. The Kansas race has been as heated as any other. Here's how Orman and Roberts handled an easy-to-anticipate debate question. What nice thing can you say about your opponent?
I appreciate Senator Roberts' service to our country. I appreciate his service in the Marines, and I will...
I would say that you are a very well-dressed opponent.
Sometimes it's just too hard to be gracious in the heat of a hard-fought campaign. So where does this leave the voters? Not happy at all. But it's not clear that either party is listening to the message voters want to send. In the latest Wall Street Journal poll, 50% of voters said they favored a hypothetical candidate willing to compromise. That's a big flip from 2010, when 57% said they'd rather have a candidate stick to their positions at the expense of passing legislation. It remains to be seen if the next Congress will give voters what they say they want. Mara Liasson, NPR News.